From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Today, a new startup announces itself to the world. That probably happens every day, but this particular startup is focused on the short game of self-driving vehicles. Otto, spelled O-T-T-O, is co-founded by some big names who left Google. The company's brand new, but it says it is building technology that retrofits regular 18-wheelers with autonomous capabilities for long hauls. Anthony Lewandowski, who worked on Google's self-driving car project, is one of the co-founders at the company. Anthony, how do human drivers fit into the equation here?
So think of an owner-operator that's driving across country. He or she is only able to drive a specific amount, both legally and due to the need for sleep for humans. By bringing this technology, we could keep the truck rolling, you know, 24 hours a day, and changing their role from kind of skipper of a ship to captain of a ship.
Interesting. So you're talking about essentially the truck driver doesn't stop driving necessarily. He just stops driving when he needs to sleep, and instead of parking the truck somewhere to sleep, he lets it go.
Absolutely, yeah. And then also the type of things that are being done when they're driving right now is you're mainly focused on keeping the truck in the lane and making sure you don't hit the vehicle in front of you. That's an easy job to do for a little bit, but over time, the longer you perform this action, you know, in terms of like hour 2 versus hour 3 versus hour 4 versus hour like 11, your quality of driving goes down.
Anthony, why not do this kind of work at Google itself?
I think Google's an amazing company, and it's a phenomenal thing, but I wanted to come out and build something that one might not expect Google to do, which is enter in a kind of business-to-business, pure efficiency transportation play.
Yeah, and you think that that technology is basically here.
Absolutely. I think you can achieve, you know, the level of driving on highways to go unmanned sooner than you would be able to in a more complex environment. It's a lower technical hurdle, which gets me excited because it means that there's going to be a real solution sooner and, you know, have society reap the benefits of that faster.
Anthony Lewandowski there, co-founder of the company Otto. Tomorrow, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is scheduled to hold a hearing on a familiar challenge, diversifying the tech industry. The EEOC says solutions are still needed, and Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer went in search of some.
Solution one, increase the pipeline of women and minorities majoring in computer science, according to Lisa Dizzuti, president of the nonprofit Women in Technology. But then she says you have to keep them in the tech field. Women are 45% more likely than men to leave it. Dizzuti says they may feel isolated on the job.
They're the single woman in the room. And I think that women still feel perhaps that they are excluded from social networks at their jobs.
Tech companies are trying another solution, money, funding nonprofits like Dizzuti's and groups like the Hidden Genius Project, which tries to get young African-American men into the tech pipeline. Brandon Nicholson heads the project. He says Silicon Valley has to do more, though, than just throw money at the diversity issue.
They've not put in the same amount of innovation into that as they have, in some instances, into some of their ideas or products.
Nicholson has a solution. He teaches young African-American men to be entrepreneurs so they can start their own tech companies someday. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Hi, Ben Johnson here. Thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. We give you context on business and technology in your life. Some context on us. We are a nonprofit service and we rely on donations. Call it old school crowdfunding. We've also made some awesome Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses as a thank you to donators. You can donate today at marketplace.org. Gardening season is in full swing right now, and in the last few years, the smart home has been stretching its digital tendrils into the yard. There are a lot of new devices to use. CNET editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine is here. Lindsay, can you plant some ideas for us on the latest smart tech for the garden?
There are a lot of different devices that you can invest in that will tell you a little bit more than you probably know yourself about what's going on in your yard. So one product we've tried is called the Eden Garden Sensor. It's got a database of 5,000 plants, and you can actually put it near plants, and it will tell you what the pH in your soil is. It'll tell you what kinds of minerals are in your soil and make recommendations for you on watering schedules. There's something called the Kubachi Wi-Fi plant sensor.
Okay.
There's one from Parrot that is really more for potted plants.
What else? Anything else from the smart home that you just think people are going to be using even 5 years from now?
Well, we love talking about robot lawnmowers, partially because it just sounds crazy, and partially because they're not quite ready yet. You kind of think they should be, right? Like Roomba, robot vacuums, it's really the same idea for your lawn.
Right, except it has a rotating blade on it.
Except what these robot lawnmowers do is they give a really, really tiny haircut to your lawn.
Okay.
All the time. But they cost, you know, upwards of $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are only available outside of the United States. And it takes them a really long time to keep your lawn trimmed properly.
Okay. Not very efficient.
No.
It's interesting to talk about this because I feel like a lot of people see the garden, see the outdoors as their escape from, in some ways, their worst habits with technology, right?
Sure. And I think that as with any smart device, the technology can get in the way if you try to overdo it. My advice is always, if you have a problem that you want to solve, like you're really frustrated that your sprinkler turns on when it's just rained,
right,
then take a look at smart sprinkler systems. Don't try to take it all at once because you may be removing some joy from your life.
Lindsay Turrentine, she's the editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Ben.
And Twitter is reportedly making a big change to its small field where you input 140 characters. Bloomberg spoke to people familiar with the matter, as they say. You may soon be able to add a link or image or video without reducing the character count you have to pontificate. I tweeted my reaction to this change. Want to know how I feel? I'm at the Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.